Welcome to Bring It Up with Deb and Cindy. This is a program where we bring up the conversation. Your hosts, Deborah Flora, speaker, writer, and movie producer, and Cindy Fay, author, Bible teacher, and international correspondent. And now, it's time to elevate the dialogue and bring it up.
Welcome to Bring It Up. I'm Deborah Flora.
And I'm Cindy Fay.
You know, studies show that almost 50% of all people make New Year's resolutions. I mean, Cindy, what do you think the number one resolution is?
Well, probably mine, which is I really want to, you know, scale it back, you know, eat healthfully, more healthfully. I want to exercise more. I'd like to drop a few pounds. I mean, I think that's probably, you know, every woman on the planet feels that way.
You are very astute. That is the number one. It's to lose weight, to get into shape. And, you know, it's not really surprising, especially after all of the holiday food and festivities. You know, here's the thing that's troubling, though. Studies show that 92% of people who make New Year's resolutions don't keep them. 92%. That's why we are so happy to have Valerie Hassey with us to kick off this new year. She's not only a certified personal trainer and fitness nutrition specialist, she's also a life coach. And that's really what we're talking about here. So welcome, Valerie.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it was so great. We had you back right before Christmas and you gave us so many good tips and we said, hey, we need to have you back. So thanks for coming.
So here I am.
She's going to whip us into shape in more ways than one. You know, the statistic that Deb just shared is really startling. Less than 10% of people who make resolutions actually keep them. Why is that?
You know, I think everybody wants the dream, but the human default really is to take the path of least resistance. So when it gets difficult or obstacles appear or when it becomes inconvenient, people tend to go straight back to their old habits. I think also, you know, when we want a change, we may lack that specific goal and an action plan. And if you don't have those two things, then you just have an idea.
That's true.
I think another thing is there's not accountability. When we want to do something significant, we need some accountability. We need something that's going to keep us on track to our goal. And we also need to have some investment, put some skin in the game, something that's going to keep us from, you know, ditching our plan early. And I think the last thing would be, you know, people don't really fulfill their resolutions because there's a lack of focus on a daily basis. You know, distraction, and we have tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
Distraction will really derail your goals.
That's really amazing. We go back to, you know, our old ways, bada bing.
Right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here's something I love that you talk about. You talk about the need to know the big why. And I think that's it just so sticks with me when I've heard you say that. Can you unpack that for us and give us some examples?
Absolutely. So when you know the why, the how becomes easy. So if you're missing the long-term vision, the long-term vision of how your right choices will affect your life much further down the road, that is going to change your behavior. Vision is huge. So really think about your resolution and why are you making it? Not a short-term why, not so that you can look good on the beach and for a trip in, you know, Hawaii in January or something like that, but a huge vision, something that is looking at your life down the road. Self-discipline really becomes dormant in the absence of a dream. So you need a strong why that really transcends the here and now and is about how it will affect your future. So our amount of endurance to accomplish any goal is really directed and connected to our long-term vision.
Boy, that's important. I love what you said. Know the why, and then the how becomes easy.
Absolutely.
Boy, that's powerful. Well, what help us out. Let's bring it home. You know, what are some other keys to help us make goals that we can keep? You know, we don't want to make unrealistic goals. So how do we make goals and then keep them? I would think that one leads to the other, right?
Absolutely. Well, there's a couple of things. You know, of course, first, having that why and that big vision. But I think it's important that when you make that goal, that you take immediate and massive action. If it's not immediate, then it's procrastination, right? So get the holiday goodie leftovers out of the house. Otherwise, it's sliver, slice, slab, slob, right? You know, you keep straightening the line on the rest of the cake.
Say sliver, slab, slice,
sliver, slice, slab, slop. You know,
it's a tongue twister. I love it.
It's the Costco cake when you just straighten the line.
Okay, raise your hand if you have done that. You've straightened the line on the cake.
See, I'm so glad no one can see me right now.
Oh my gosh, my hand raised. Our producer Kevin is raising his hand as high as it can go. I straightened the cake last night.
Okay, there you go.
So you got to get it out of the house. You know, maybe join a challenge, hire a trainer, get a workout buddy, put your exercise on your calendar, make it an appointment, and get started. You know, little action equals little results, but massive action equals massive results. Mm-hmm. And then number two, make an investment. You know, the most important investment you will ever make is your health. Also, the more you have invested, the less likely you will be to flake on your commitment to yourself. So the investment can be financial, or it can be time, or it can be both. Either way, you really have to put something in if you want to get something out.
That's so good. It needs to cost you something.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, the tendency can be to give up. Right, Deb? Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that?
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, how many people have purchased the gym membership and then just contribute to, like, it's a local charity or something? You know, so the tendency is to give up. And if we make one mistake along the way, sometimes that seems to sink the whole ship.
Yeah.
What is the solution to that kind of perfection mentality?
You have to free yourself of perfection.
There you go. You're talking right to me now. I see it.
So if you screw up once, it's not, you don't just let yourself derail.
Absolutely. You know, the focus really has to be on progression. And really, that's where all the joy in life comes from anyway, is on the journey. It's the progressing. Success is really messy. You know, and I say weight loss is messy, too. It's like a roller coaster. You go up and down and then kind of around and then back down again. And ultimately, if you just stay with it, you will be okay. And as long as you don't quit, you will have success. You just have to keep taking steps and doing the next right thing. You know, 30 minutes of exercise, keeping the sugar out of your diet, drinking your water, journaling your food. And I always say, if you fall off the wagon, get back on, because if you don't, it's going to run you over.
Oh gosh.
That's a good way
to put hilarious.
It.
Well, you're listening to Bring It Up with Deb and Cindy, and we have life coach and trainer Valerie Hassey here with us, helping us to whip ourselves into some kind of shape emotionally and physically here in the new year. And you know what you were just talking about, Valerie? I've gone through a weight loss journey, and I remember thinking just one small step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Every single choice makes a difference. It's just the next little step.
Absolutely. Just do the next right thing.
Now, what role do other people have in helping us keep our goals?
It's huge. I think you really have to take stock of who you spend most of your time with. Mm. You know, when we do a 30-day challenge, we do a detox, and people think about detoxing your food. But I think sometimes you have to detox your inner circle, and some people need to be put on the back row. Some people need to be put all the way outside the house.
How do we know who those people are?
Well, think about who really challenges you toward your goals, or, you know, or do they influence you in the wrong direction? When you go out to dinner, who are you eating with? Are they the people that are going to order vegetables as a side, or are they going to order the fries? Because if they're going to order the fries, they're going to encourage you to do the exact same thing. You know, we're really the average of the five people that we spend the most time with.
Mm.
So find people, or at least someone, who will challenge you by their lifestyle. This is so important. You might need to adjust your inner circle so that you will be with people that will cause you to make better choices.
I love that. And I love that accountability, because my husband and I worked with you, Valerie, and we followed through with this. And it was so great because we were cheering each other on, and it brought us closer, in fact. So you can do this with your spouse, with a close friend. And I have to say, I'm so proud of him. He lost 28 pounds.
He sure did.
But it wasn't just weight. Actually, the big why that we've talked about, it was actually focusing instead on the big why was we want to be young for our kids. We want to be there for each other. And then it wasn't a big deal to then do it. So thank you for that. I just have to say
you're looking quite
handsome. But so, you know, as a life coach, what is unique about people who are successful? I think that's always interesting. There's some people that just succeed. What is it that we can emulate from them that sets them apart?
You know, I love that success is a level playing field. It doesn't matter what your education is or where you came from, what your background is. It's just that successful people do one thing different than those who are not.
Mm.
They do what needs to be done every single day. When they don't, feel like it.
Wow.
That's the key.
You know, if you listen to the Nike challenge, you know, everybody knows the brand Nike, and what do they say? Just do it.
Just do it.
Right? So why do you think they say that? It's because most people don't feel like doing the hard stuff now so that they can have the good stuff later. One of the things I like to say is, you know, success is never owned. It's rented, and the rent is due every single day. So really, the chief cause of failure is trading what you want most for what you want right now. So really, when you don't feel like it, do it.
Yeah.
Do it. And if you do that every single day, I was doing this just yesterday. I was thinking about it as I had written out what we were going to talk about, and I had to unload the dishwasher, and I didn't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
But I knew what was going to happen. Everybody's going to just fill up the sink with dishes. So just get it done. I didn't feel like it. I unloaded it. But you know what? The rest of my day was easier because my kitchen was clean.
Well, and nothing good happens by accident.
Of course not.
Think about it in our lives, whether it's your career or raising your kids. But turn it to yourself. Is anything good going to happen if we just kind of laze around?
No, absolutely not. I think that living a life of awareness and intention and really thinking about the choices that we're making and doing the next right thing, even when we don't feel like it, makes a huge impact for not just our day today, but our future down the road.
Why do you think women, especially Valerie, put themselves on the back burner?
I think women have the biggest martyr mentality. I think because they feel like it gives them value. I'll just take care of everybody else, and this is somehow how we get our value. And that's a whole other topic I could get started on.
Another show.
That's another show. But I think women do. And the bottom line is we have to take good care of ourselves because down the line we really want to be able to take care of the people that we love, and they're depending on us. So it's so important. That goes back to that why and that bigger vision of what do we really want in our life. We want to have full relationships and energy and the ability to do the things that we love to do. It's not just about fitting into a small pair of jeans. It's about the bigger picture.
Yeah. And so it's a short-term Benny when we think I'm going to put everybody else ahead, but there's no long-term benefit for us in the long run, right?
Actually, it's worse. It's worse for us, and it's worse for the people that we love.
Well, in the last minute that we have here, Valerie, you know, we had the added benefit of knowing God who can motivate us. How does that make a difference for you when you're setting goals?
I think, you know, it's interesting. This is something that I've been really working on over the last 6 months because I have one speed, you know, that is 100 miles an hour. And God's really teaching me to slow down and be present. There's a book I'm reading called Present Over Perfect, and it's been very, very helpful to stop and just to sit in His presence and hear what it is that He has for me, and to recognize that everything that I'm doing is not under my strength. It's really His strength. And when you realize how strong He is and who really has the power, we can stop, we can rest, we can take that time to exercise, to eat right, to do the things that take care for our bodies and for our mind and our spirit and our soul. And then we're better off for others because He's working through us.
That's a great way to leave it. My goodness, that inspires me, Valerie, so much. And thank you. I love that our big why, as you were sharing, really is all the more weighty when we realize that God has created us for a purpose. So any health change is so that we are better equipped to run the race He set before us with passion and purpose.
Well, you know, we want to hear from you, our listeners. So go to our website at bringitupmedia.com and let us know what your New Year's resolutions are and how you've been inspired by this segment, what you've learned from Valerie and how you're going to implement it. We would love to know that, and maybe we can learn something from you too. So this will all be at bringitupmedia.com.
Well, as we continue, now that we're on the way to getting our bodies back where they should be, what about our hearts and spirits? Got the after Christmas blues and blahs? Well, the prescription you need is coming right up.
To Bring It Up. I'm Cindy Faye.
And I'm Deborah Flora.
Well, Deb, the holidays are over, and yes, it's wonderful and filled with traditions and spiritual meaning as we focus on the coming of Christ. But you know what? Now that it's over, statistics tell us, and by the way, so does my flagging and sagging energy level, many of us experience kind of a post-Christmas letdown after Christmas, right? is it just all the fudge and the Christmas cookies I ate? Let's just keep it real. Or is something else going on, do you think?
Well, for me, it might be that I'm still eating the Christmas cookies. That could do it. Well, no, I do think there may be something else going on, and we should find out.
Yeah, well, sure, we can read piles of statistics, and they're out there. Plenty of info on post-holiday blahs. But hey, instead, we've asked Donna Sardisco to come into the studio today and give us some January encouragement up close and personal. So if you're listening, grab a cup of coffee and join the conversation as Donna unpacks why we feel so doggone saggy and baggy in January. Donna is a marriage and family therapist and a wonderful sister in Christ. And let's be real, if anyone can inject a little January joy into our weary hearts, it's Donna. So welcome, Donna.
Well, thank you for the warm welcome and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We're so glad you're here. So, hey, let's just get right to it because I have that saggy baggy sort of feeling as well, put so descriptively. So let's just jump into it. Donna, why do so many of us experience post-holiday blues?
Well, you know what? There are a combination of reasons that they do experience these blues. Some studies show that as many as 25% of Americans suffer low-grade to full-blown depression after the holidays.
Wow.
And some of the reasons for this are disappointment or unmet expectation regarding gifts or relationships. A second one is isolation. You know, during the holidays, we see friends, we have family over, and then it stops. And so since the socializing stops, we get back to a routine, and sometimes there's a lot of isolation and loneliness, and that can contribute to these post-holiday blues. And then also financial debt. You know, if we've given in to spending more than we should, then the pending bills start coming in, and that stress contributes to discouragement. And then lastly, I think the loss of loved ones. You know, whether it's death or divorce or empty nesters and the kids are going back to college, we go through this grief of the loss of these loved ones or this new season in life, and the holidays remind us of this. But it's at this time that having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world, as you girls know. And 2 Timothy 4:17 says, "But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength." And Hebrews 13:5 says, "I'll never leave you or abandon you." It says, "I will never let go of your hand." Mm. So though there's many reasons for these holiday blues, there's always a solution in our relationship with that loving God.
That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about the seasons that have changed. Yeah, when the kids go back to school and they're getting their own families and lives, it's a little different. You have to start working on some new traditions, and that takes a lot of energy. Well, Donna, is self-examination important to understand why we're feeling the way we are? And how do we do this examination in what I would think of as a proactive, spiritually and emotionally healthy way, rather than going in circles, you know, navel-gazing?
Oh, that's well put. You know, I think, yes, the answer is it is always important for self-examination. And I get this from 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, "Keep examining yourselves to see whether or not you're continuing in the faith. Hmm. Test yourself. You know, don't you, that Jesus, the Messiah, lives in you." So I think self-examination is definitely important on a regular basis. And we need to ask ourselves, did I keep my priorities straight through the holidays? Did I stay within my financial limits? Or, as you said earlier, did I overeat? And so, you know, I think it's really important to do that. How is my behavior or my choices I've made line up with God's word? Mm. And that's the key to how we do it in a healthy way. Psalms 139, 23, and 24 in the Message. And I love that Bible.
I do too.
That interpretation is so simple. But when you ask how we can self-examine in a healthy way, it says, "Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about and see if I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life."
Wow. And what's the reference of that again?
That is Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Mm-hmm. So in that, we're inviting the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to look at everything in us, motives, the decisions, the choices we're making. And the wonderful thing is that He's so loving. And when He does redirect us, He doesn't do it with condemnation, but He does it with a loving conviction. And I think this is a good time to talk about the difference between conviction and condemnation.
Yes, please do.
Conviction draws us to God with hope and healing, whereas condemnation is discouraging and it can feel like self-hatred or just negative, obsessive thinking or thoughts about ourselves. So, but again, our loving God uses a conviction that draws us onto a path that's good for us in our relationship with Him.
It's so great because we do know that then we have the hope of change and God changing us, not getting stuck in that place.
Yeah.
I think that really leads to the to the blues. So, you know, we love getting practical and you help us do that so much. What are some strategies that we can use to overcome post-holiday blahs? I mean, what's the first step and then the next steps? I want to know them all.
Oh, you got it. All right. Well, get a pad and paper.
We got it.
And here we go. You know, first of all, there's practicing self-care. And there's some really practical things we can do. Good diet, exercise, knowing when to say no, enjoying healthy relationships in our inner circle. And that's, you know, being aware if there's a toxic relationship that we have and it's in our inner circle, we could move that or make some decisions regarding that. And then the most simple and practical thing, and I love this about our Lord who made us and knows how we tick and everything about us, and that is get enough sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes God's perfect will for us is to take a nap. And in 1 Kings 19:3-6, I love it. Elijah was afraid and he was alone running into the wilderness. And then he sat down and he said, Lord, I've had enough. Take my life. And then he slept. And he slept long enough. And then an angel touched him and said, eat this bread and drink this jar of water. So he got up, he ate and drank, and then he went back to sleep and he took a nap again. And at the right time, the angel of the Lord came and touched him and said, get up and eat some. And he regained his strength. And so I think something practical as, you know, good self-care, doing the things that I've listed are important.
Can I just say, I love that naps are scriptural.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to use that.
I love it. Well, you're listening to Bring It Up with Deb and Cindy, and we have as our January joy-filled guest, Donna Sardisco, helping us to really get some strategy, some of that holiday, post-holiday blues, that saggy-baggy feeling we get in January. Donna, if we don't seem to be able to pull out of the doldrums, what are the signs that maybe we should seek some medical attention if we continue to feel, you know, lethargic after the holidays?
You know, that's a really important question for our listeners because it's typical after the holidays to experience a down, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But when it goes beyond that, some signs of depression and that it may be a good idea to get some professional help or see a doctor, it would be a prolonged sadness or unexplained crying spells, the inability to concentrate, reoccurring thoughts of harming yourself, unexplained aches and pains, irritability, and a change in your sleep pattern. So a combination of these things that go on beyond 3 or 4 weeks, then I think it's important to seek out some professional help.
That's good.
That's so good. Well, Donna, there's nothing like God's word to renew our hearts in the new year. Can you share some encouragement from Scripture to lift us and inspire us?
Oh, absolutely. It is my pleasure. You know, and one of the most simple things when we look at God's word is that He says it's important for us to help others. And, you know, in Isaiah 58:10, it says, feed the hungry, help those in trouble. Then your light will shine from out darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. And the Lord will guide you, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. And this is my favorite part in that verse. And it says, you will be like a well-watered garden. So it is so important as a part of us to help others. I think that's an encouragement from God's word that we get when we give. And then also in Isaiah 43:19, it says, "For I'm about to do something new in you. I've already begun. Do you see it? I will make a pathway in the wilderness and create rivers in the dry wasteland." Mm. So there's our part and there's God's part. You know, he asks us to put on the new man. He's been created in God's image, and we're to act in righteousness and holiness and be renewed in our mind. But he also says, "I'll give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them." And so our part and God's part, when we put those together, it's a recipe for success.
Oh, I love that we're not doing it alone. That's so great. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's plenty of good encouragement out there for us. And we've done the homework for you. So visit our website, bringitupmedia.com.
Well, as we continue, talk to any group of parents who've done their best to raise kids who love the Lord, and you're going to hear one common thread. Kids who have walked away from their faith in high school or college. Want to chart a different course with your kids? Just ahead, keys to capturing kids for Christ for a lifetime. Cindy, with an invitation for you to join us as a partner in the Bring It Up radio show. We're a nonprofit, so your donation is tax deductible. Now, this is the program where we're not afraid to bring up the hot topics of the day. Whatever the issue, we're ready to take it on from a biblical perspective to help you think and act biblically as a champion for your family, your community, your country, and the world. And you make it all possible with your prayer and financial support. You can donate by logging onto our website, bringitupmedia.com, and clicking the donate button. Give any amount, put it on your credit card, and maybe make it a monthly support. And again, because we're nonprofit, your gift is tax deductible. So come join us in strengthening biblical values in our homes and in our crazy culture by partnering with us. Just log on to bringitupmedia.com and click on the donate button. And thanks, we're in this together. Again, that's bringitupmedia.com. To Bring It Up. I'm Cindy Fay.
And I'm Deborah Flora.
Well, Deb, I want to talk about something that is really on my heart. It started recently when I had a reunion a couple weeks ago with all the moms. Our kids all attended this great Christian school together. And now our kids are all in their early 30s, and we're catching up on what everybody's doing and how everybody's kids are doing. And the hardest thing to hear, every mom at our luncheon shared that she had a son or a daughter who was no longer living a Christ-centered life, mm-hmm. walking with the Lord, or even attending church. Each one of those women shared that this was their greatest heartbreak and their deepest prayer request. As we went around the table and said, "How can we pray for each other?" It was their deepest prayer request. Okay, that was one thing. Well, then it happened again at a women's leadership conference that I attended in Colorado last year. Table of 10 leaders, women who are leaders in their communities. Every single one of them, their deepest prayer request, they had a prodigal. Mm. They each had a prodigal. It was so heartbreaking. And I just have to ask, how is this happening? You know, yeah. Why is it happening?
Well, it's interesting because the conversations I'm having with now parents of middle school age children, yeah. or even elementary, is how can we keep that from happening?
Yeah.
So I think it is such an important topic, Cindy.
Well, it is, and it's on my heart. So here to help us understand why so many kids are abandoning their faith in high school and in college, and give us some strategies for capturing kids for Christ for a lifetime, is Pastor Dave Cox. Pastor Dave is a member of the senior pastoral staff at the church at Rocky Peak in Chatsworth, California. He has years of experience working with families, ministering to parents as well as their kids and their teens. So thanks for joining us today, Pastor Dave.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you guys.
We are so glad. Personally, you're just talking right to me.
Yeah.
I want to know all this.
This is a big deal. It's a big
topic.
Yeah,
it is.
And I think everybody feels this. If you have a child, your passion would be to see them grow, walk with God for
yeah.
a lifetime.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. The research shows something different. Barna research indicates that 75% of kids fall away from their faith after high school. They also show that the spiritual involvement of 20-somethings, they found that only 20% of students who were highly churched as teens remained spiritually active by the age of 29. Those are some staggering numbers. So here's the question to start off with. Why are so many students walking away from their faith, do you think?
It's a great question. I think it's a big question. I think there's a lot of reasons for it. In fact, Fuller Seminary did a study on this. And one of the things that they found is that students who did not have a safe place to express their doubts before they left home were much more likely to fall away. Just means that they were in isolation about their thoughts, their doubts, and everybody as they're growing and taking ownership of their faith, they've got to examine their faith. And if they don't have a place to do that out loud with people that can guide them in that experience, then they're left to their own or whatever group that they're going to be with or exposed to, and they're going to be much more vulnerable. And I think we all know our universities are not a friendly setting if you're a Christ follower. And over half of the faculty in universities would not just be, you know, passive towards that. They're going to be actually aggressively against any type of Christian worldview. So if a worldview is not really formed and established and students have not had a chance to think through their doubts and talk through that out loud, when they're faced with challenges and questions they've never heard, other thoughts, ideas, philosophies, other faiths, they're not prepared to dialogue on that level, and they're vulnerable.
You know, I want to ask this, though, Dave. You know, do you think, and you work with a lot of teens, do you think that a lot of kids would be afraid of disappointing mom and dad in the teen years if they asked them, if they were honest and very transparent about their doubts? Do you think they're afraid of doing that with mom and dad?
I think they can be. I think most people are. Like, to admit that you have a doubt about the Lord, or how do we know if he's real, or they've prayed something and they didn't see an answer. Now it creates a doubt about prayer or about how God is or the character of God. And it raises a lot of questions. If they don't get to talk about that out loud and honestly in real time, then those things keep getting piled up and packaged. And so they already have some unresolved doubts. And if others come in and feed more doubt on it, they feel like they're on unstable ground. They don't know where to go.
And, you know, I can relate to that personally because I almost fell for my faith in my 20s. Mm. And it was one pastor I had, a college pastor, who said to all of us, if any of you ever have a doubt, come talk to me because I don't want to believe in a lie either.
Right.
And we can talk about
Absolutely.
It. And that gave me a place to go. And I think really when I look back, it was that one person that said it. So we're trying to now say that mm-hmm. to our kids. So they already know, even at 11 and 12, that it's okay to ask. So is that
exactly.
something that parents can do?
For sure. It's one of those ones. I relate to that. I remember answering the door. A Jehovah Witness knocked at the door, and I thought I could open scripture and do that. And I remember I was like put in a pretzel. I was in high school. I felt so unprepared. But you know what it did for me? It forced me to look deeper. And it actually, you know, drove me. I ended up getting a master's in Christian apologetics because I was so hungry to know how to do what Jude 3 says, which it says, contend yeah. earnestly for the faith. And I wanted to know how to give an answer. I wanted to know how to contend and give a hope for why I believe what I believe.
And I think a lot of kids don't have any idea why they believe what they believe. The apologetics thing is maybe not so much happening.
Mm-hmm. Are there tools that we can share with our kids? I mean, I know there are a lot of great books. What would you recommend?
You know, there's great tools out there. There's some great books out there. There's some apologetic websites. But I think where it will really go, there's great, we can probably post some resources on the website.
We will.
But I'd say even bigger than just information, there's another major aspect of students walking with God after they leave. Part of it's their exposure prior to leaving home, that they've had to see this faith lived out and they've seen it modeled. They know mm-hmm. what it looks like. They've been participating in it and with it. It's not something that you do over there or on a weekend. This is who we are as a people, and they've grown up experiencing that ideally with both their mother and their father, but it's they've been grown up in an environment where they've been exposed to what it looks like.
Yeah.
Throughout their lifetime.
Well, you're listening to Bring It Up with Deb and Cindy, and we have in the studio our guest, Dave Cox, who's a pastor to families and kids at a large church here in the Los Angeles area. And we're talking about winning and capturing our kids for Christ for a lifetime. You know, Dave, families really are busy, they're stressed, and even the strongest Christian families is there a temptation to, quote unquote, outsource our kids' spiritual education to the church? In other words, if I don't cover the bases at home, at least the church is going to do it.
Absolutely. I encounter it all the time. We see it at church a lot. In fact, I was at my mechanic and he's like, I need to find a church. I need someone to teach them about God. And part of the mindset that we can easily fall into is just like I send my kid to soccer practice, karate, or piano lessons, I'm going to drop them off at church and then they'll teach them about the God stuff. Mm-hmm. And then parents can sit back and just trust, put that in somebody else's court. Just know that in Deuteronomy, there's such a key passage where it gives the instruction to the parents. And I'd love to just read it because
yeah, sure.
I think it's so insightful about how it describes what that even looks like. It said, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Now listen to how he describes how to impress it. He says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them to your foreheads, write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates. So this imagery is like when you're sitting down, lying
all
down,
the time,
as you're driving in your car,
yes,
as you're going to the grocery store, you're just interacting about the Lord. You're talking about that. It means you integrate conversation. It's part of what we get to do as parents. And some people say, I don't want to impose my spiritual values on my kids, which is crazy. If you don't help them understand their values, they will take the values of whatever they're exposed to.
You bet they will. I mean, parents are called to lead, right?
Absolutely. It's a key thing. And I think there's simple things that parents can do to start shaping that.
Such as? What are some simple things?
Yeah. All right. Well, if we jump in, I think because people just want some practicals. Like,
yes.
What does this even mean? What's it look like? And I think two big categories. One, key people. And another one would be key moments or key habits to talk about. Let me just make a note on key people. Key people, I mean, number one, you're as a parent, if you're a parent listening, you are the number one influencer in the life of your child,
mm-hmm.
hands down. And how you live, what you do is going to speak much louder than what you say. And so if you can live life with them, that's going to be a key thing. It's also known that for kids to really be consistent with God, it takes seven adults outside of mom and dad who are faithful to be an influence in the life of that child for them to be consistently walking. This just means like if you have an opportunity, you invite people into your home, they see you praying with people, meeting with people, you intentionally pursue people to connect with your son or your daughter because you trust their influence. You are shaping them in a way that's critical because they need to see this in the community of believers, not just in mom and dad, but in the community as a whole. And that's a significant thing. So that's on a people level. There's a lot a parent can do, but just knowing that you've got to intentionally expose them to people that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a key one.
That's important because I think most parents right now of younger children are going seven. Okay, let me get to that number of seven. So this could be youth group leaders. It could be family
members, a grandfather, but significant people that you would trust.
Yes. And then you said key moments. What were the key moments?
Yeah, key moments. I would start by saying there's daily moments you capture. There's nothing that will replace just doing spiritual practices with your child.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as, you know, when they're little, you can start when they're really young. I forgot what the Bible app is called, but basically they've got the little Bible programs you can watch on there. They can watch a story. Hey, watch that. Talk about it. Hey, let's just pray. You could do that in 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're really young, they get used to doing that. And so you start spending time with God with them, and they'll start processing their life. Hey, when they feel hurt or frustrated, now you get to talk about what's forgiveness look like.
Yeah.
Hey, I forgive them, even though it makes me feel like this. And now, hey, Jesus talked about blessing them when you forgive. So let's do that right now. You ready to do that? Okay.
And things like repentance,
all
too.
Of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It gets lived out. What are your hopes? What are your fears?
Mm-hmm.
Now you get to move towards those things. But part of that is a daily practice where they get to see what it even means to walk with God daily. If you don't teach them how to do that then, don't think that when you send them off to school in a new environment without a community, that all of a sudden that's going to be a natural habit and practice. It's something that we have the privilege, like Deuteronomy says, you just do daily life with them, and they're going to get this. This becomes part of who they are. And wherever they go, they're not going to be as dependent upon a church to keep feeding them in a certain way. They're going to be ready to be feeding leading others because it's part of their fabric. It's
it just goes right back to that Deuteronomy scripture, doesn't
it? Yes.
Is there any encouragement really you can give us from scripture as we devote ourselves into grounding our kids in a faith that lasts a lifetime? There's Deuteronomy. Is there anything else?
There's so many, but before you, means you are going to be the chief initiator, that you have got a spiritual role and a right in their life. And it doesn't mean you have to have the answers every time you do something, but you can go find an answer. You can say, let's pray. You don't have to be real fancy on how you pray. You don't have to pray long, but you're going to be initiating and modeling what the Lord is saying. So I would almost just say there's a lot we could talk through, but just know you're called. And if you're called, the Lord will enable you and he'll lead you even in those moments of doing it, because nobody can replace your influence.
Mm, that's great to know.
So beautiful, Dave. And you know, the transparency of parents walking in these kinds of things with their kids is very winning to the child too. Having your child hear you ask for forgiveness, or you sharing your prayers and your thoughts of them, is very, very, it just builds
a
bond.
Real.
It's real.
If it's not real, it's not going to stick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we just pray that this season we're going to nourish our kids with life from the scriptures as we walk with them, growing together in the Lord, and capture their hearts for a lifetime for the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, on our website, bringitupmedia.com, we have a link to a fantastic resource book called Sticky Faith. I love that. Sticky Faith. Everyday ideas to build lasting faith in your kids. We'll also have those resources we talked about to equip them to know why they believe what they believe. It's all about practical suggestions for passing along faith that will stick to our kids. You'll find that link at bringitupmedia.com.
Wow, can you believe the holidays are here and it is finally feeling cold outside?
Hi, I'm Bill, and this is my wife, Kathleen, and we're the owners of American Vision Windows.
Give your family the gift that will last a lifetime. Brand new windows from American Vision Windows.
Right now, and just in time for the holidays, American Vision Windows is making it easier than ever for you to afford beautiful, new, energy-efficient windows for your home. With zero money down, 0% interest, and no payments for 18 months, plus free expert installation. This is a limited time offer, so call now, 888-228-0722. Order by December 31st, 888-228-0722, or AmericanVisionWindows.com.
Kathleen and I are so thankful for our entire team at American Vision Windows, and especially for you, our customers.
From our family to yours, we would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
On approved credit, monthly interest will be charged from the purchase date if not paid in full within 18 months. Some restrictions apply. Expires 12/31/18. CLCB number 778326.
Welcome back to Bring It Up. I'm Deborah Flora.
And I'm Cindy Fay.
Well, Cindy, I think we've said it a few times, and as we all know, this is the busiest time of year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most busy time of the year. Yes, for so many women, whether you are a mom or not, we are juggling so many things, and that season can sometimes seem like a blur. It just seems to accelerate between regular responsibilities, Christmas activities, school events, concerts, performances. I just need to take a deep breath after saying all of that.
You know, we're professional jugglers.
I just have to say,
as women, moms, you know, we're working, we're handling everything that comes our way. And whether we have a spouse or we don't, we're still professional jugglers. Let's just put it out there.
Absolutely. And it is a joy. I mean, it's such a privilege.
Yeah,
I think sometimes, wow, how wonderful that I have the opportunity to handle wrestling practice and band concert and Christmas concert and all these other things.
And that you have a job.
Absolutely.
We have jobs too. Work is a gift.
It is. It really is. But here's the thing. Many of the things that we do may seem to go unnoticed, but we want you to know we notice it. That's why we want to take a moment and acknowledge how much you are managing. We want to recognize it, give you a pat on the back and a hearty well done, especially to you moms out there. So here's what we thought would be kind of fun. Let's take a moment to share just some of the many titles that moms have throughout the year.
Wow. The list is endless, but you know what? You are the CEO of the household. Even if you have a husband, you are the one running the household, I bet.
Yes.
Right? You are the CEO. You're making it all happen. Good job.
Indeed. And
pat
and
on the
what?
Back.
I hope you're sitting a little taller knowing that you are a CEO. Here's another one, which I am not very good. Personal chef, short order cook, and food tester.
Mm.
So I am not the cook, but I have led my kids to survive and be nourished up to this point
in time. Well, they're growing and they're eating. That's the important thing. Deb. You know what? We're also the head cheerleader. Who is cheering those kids on, yes, the husband on, to be all they can be? Mm-hmm. You are the head cheerleader. You are there encouraging, exhorting, exclaiming, and praising them, and you are doing it so well. So kudos to you, Mom.
And guess what? You don't have to do it wearing a short skirt and holding pom-poms. Well, head cheerleader.
That would not look so pretty all the time.
Here's another one. Housekeeper and backyard safety patrol. Anyone with small children knows that we sit there and lie awake at night watching and thinking about any dangers that we can eradicate, such as spiders, bees, and of course, anything the dog has left behind.
I don't do that. I relegate that.
Well, there you go. So you are, you're a delegator, delegator.
Yes, I'm a chief delegator. There are certain things I just draw the line at, and that would be spiders and dog poop. But hey, we're the head errand runner, and we are professional Uber drivers, yes, whether or not we're getting paid for it or not. So kudos to you who are driving carpool. You're taking your kids here and there.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Absolutely. Here's one that I love. Judge Mom, you've heard of Judge Judy, daily court appearances, and chief mediator, usually between siblings. This is the one job that I never knew was coming down the pike, is that I was the detente officer,
right,
and handling of crises.
Well, did you ever think you would be able to do all these things? You also have to be the family therapist with a PhD in anger management and reverse psychology. I mean, the resume of a mother is so vast. If,
yes,
you are doing all these things, you are prepared to handle any executive duties that might ever come your way, let,
yes,
me just say.
So well done. Here's one that, if we're going to get real, ladies, bedwetting patrol squad and professional potty trainer. Yes, I have my certificate in both of those.
Yes, I do too.
But here's one that I think is really dear. Confidant and keeper of secrets. That's very sweet. Mm-hmm. Someone that is trusted confidant.
Well, and here I know this is true about you right now, Deb. Teacher, tutor, and school liaison.
Oh my heavens.
I mean, you and I will have, you know, phone conversations and you're like, okay, I have to go do homework right now.
I am relearning the things that I need to teach. Well, here's a great one, especially as we're preparing for the holidays. Toy repair expert and lost toy search and rescue officer.
Oh.
The number of times I have looked for that primary missing Lego piece or whatever,
oh my gosh,
that is just key. So
Legos are like the, I don't know.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere. You get out of bed and you step on them. You're also a lifeguard. Did you know that? You're a bodyguard as well. And you're the chief safety officer of your home. You're the fixer of boo-boos and the one who drags your kid down when they've climbed up too high in the tree. Or you go out in the waves and pull your kid out when he's, you know, bobbing up and down and gasping.
Yes, exactly. And here's a couple more we'll go through quickly. Fort engineer, I just did that the other day, and champion tickler, Sunday school supporter and spiritual advisor.
Oh, I love it.
And I like this one because I had to do it. No thumb sucking or nose picking enforcer. Yes.
Did you know there's now a device for nose picking? I just will have to say.
I was it.
You're also the hairbrusher, the wardrobe stylist. You're a personal shopper. You're a seamstress of frilly dresses and superhero costumes. You coordinate play dates and birthday events. I'm tired just saying all this.
Yes. And here at Christmas, we wanted to add to the list the things that you were doing every day. You were the executive gift wrapper, Christmas tree light bulb replacer, tradition creator and keeper.
You're the carol conductor. You're the head elf and merriment maker. You're decking the halls. You're the director of it, by the way. And you're the manger arranger, the Christmas pageant wrangler, and the pastry and cookie chef in your home. Girl, you deserve a break.
Indeed.
A spa day, or at least a way to go. Kudos for you.
Indeed. So our hope for you this season is that you take a moment and know that you are appreciated. And even if those around us don't always take the time to say thank you, we can know that our Heavenly Father sees every act of service, big or little, that you do for your family, your faith, not just to celebrate His Son's birth, but throughout the year. Well done, Mom.
And as we close today, I have one more name for you straight out of Proverbs. It says that you are blessed. Your children will rise up and call you blessed. You are indeed blessed for all you are and do. So have a great week, and thanks for listening.
Take care.